You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Before you get the rest of the story, I'd love to share a quick message from today's sponsor. This episode is sponsored by Follow Up Boss, one of the leading CRMs, client relationship managers, for residential real estate. Tons of top producing agents and some of the fastest growing teams out there are using Follow Up Boss to increase lead conversion, eliminate busy work that you're not doing anyway, and frankly, deliver a higher class experience in real estate to everybody who chooses you as their realtor of choice. So if you're going to keep listening to this, which I know you will, there's more information and a personal review of Follow Up Boss. For more information, go to followupboss.com/crazy. Hello, friends. I'm Lee Brown. This is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Today is a story that made my jaw drop. I was speechless for just a moment, not long, of course, just for a moment, but you're really going to enjoy Janice Benstock. So buckle up, enjoy, and I'll see you on the other side. So as we're chatting today, I might even have you tell your story. I want to talk about the fact that when you're in real estate long enough, you get to that point of what do we do next? Because I think that's an unspoken reality of the business. And people need to know about that, which is the fun part of the show, is talking about the things nobody knows about.
Okay. You mean, what do you do next? Like investing?
No. Well, that, or the fact that you're opening schools and doing besides selling, because I mean, it's also interesting to me that we don't talk enough in real estate about the thousands of pathways that are out there. And sometimes it's boredom that gets us into it. Like, I started speaking because I was bored. I started the podcast because I wanted to do something different, and you don't know what pathways are going to open up until you just start stretching a little bit. And so that's all part of the Janice Benstock story. So as we start recording today, you know, our audience loves just hearing conversations, and you and I'll have that easy. So tell our audience how long you've been doing real estate, where you're located, give them a little bit of the Janice story. And for the record, y'all, when you look at her headshot, she took that as a selfie, and I'm still mad about it because I've never had a selfie come out that good, and I'm legit jealous about Janice. And so tell them who you are. Now they're all pausing to go look at it, I'm pretty sure. So we'll reload that.
I'll come back down and take one of you with my iPhone.
Yes.
So I'm Janice Benstock, and I'm in Philadelphia, which you'll know when you hear my story because it could only happen in Philly. And I've been in the business 25 years. I just passed my quarter century, right?
And
I know it's insane. And I have a brokerage. I got my broker's license in 2014 and opened up my own shop just because somebody challenged me, like, you could do it better. And I said, I can. And I literally decided in that moment to open my brokerage, and I just did it. And I'm glad I did. I never looked back. And then a couple of months ago, another intuitive whim came, and I said, I'm going to open a school because I've been teaching pre-licensure and CE for the last 5 years, and I wanted to do it a little differently. So I opened my own school, and classes start in a few weeks, January 3rd. I'm super excited.
That's so fantastic. And I thought you were going to say somebody double dog dared you to be a broker, but you went in the much nicer direction. And of course, I have to ask, because you're in Philly, you know, one of my good friends up there is on city council, Alan Dom. Do you know Alan?
Oh, of course.
I need to get him on the show. He has not shown up over here on the podcast yet. So I'll get him and I'll tell him Janice went first, and he'll just, I love him. So speaking of things that only happen in Philly, right? I mean, only in Philly would you have a realtor on city council who sold a bazillion houses, and a realtor who's got a school and a broker, just like, oh yeah, of course, we text each other, because that's one of those secrets of real estate, is that realtors actually get along very well, even though it looks like we're a super cutthroat business. We're very competitive, but when you sell enough properties, you have to get along with each other for the benefit of who we serve.
I always tell my students that their reputation with other agents is more important than the reputation with clients.
Love it. You're bringing them up the right way. So is that why you started this school? So you could set them up to succeed in the business and not just get them a license?
Yeah, because I always tell people this, that school is hard. They think it's hard and the exam is hard. But the real hard part begins when you get your license, because you wake up every day unemployed. And so they need to start thinking from the first day of class how they're going to build their business, because otherwise they get out and a deer in headlights and they just think it's HGTV. And in fact, on the first day of class, I always ask people, how many of you are here because you watch HGTV? And about half of the hands go up, and then the other half are because they want to be real estate investors. And so we have a little come to Jesus moment. And I'm like, wait a minute, let's talk about meets and bounds, because this is not love it or list it. And I like to bring in the whole idea of community, of networking, of making relationships with people and building your business, because otherwise they get out and they don't know what to do.
Do you know, I don't think meets and bounds has ever even once been mentioned in any of the Million Dollar Agents, Sunset Agents, any of those shows. Now that you mention it, we should do a whole show on meets and bounds, because it's freaking hilarious. And if you're listening to this or watching this and you don't know what we're talking about, then now's probably a good time to hit the subscribe button, because we'll have to come back and talk about that, because it's hilariously wild and crazy. Plus, California agents also don't have a relationship to it, because their state didn't have meets and bounds like us East Coast people did.
Right.
And I feel like I have on my patriotic red coat jacket since we're talking about the East Coast, now that I realize that. But actually, we would have totally been patriots and not colonialists. So that's a whole different story. So anyway, Janice, you've been in the business 25 years. I want to ask you some more questions, but my audience is here for some stories, and they love knowing what we've seen. And of course, Philly has its own reputation, its own set of real estate rules. I would love to know what you've seen in Philly. And for the record, y'all, she didn't tell me the story beforehand, so we're all going to learn it together. Janice, what you got?
Okay, so years ago, I decided to buy some investment properties. I got into investing, and this was 2004. And I decided to buy an investment property, and I was going to rent it out. And at the time, I hadn't done rentals. I was only doing sales. So I hired a property management company to rent it out for me. So they put the sign up outside, and my contractor was in there finishing up the last bits and pieces, the punch list items, and somebody knocked on the door and said they wanted to see the house. So he let them in, and it turns out the guy wanted to buy it. He had a son that was going to college, and he wanted to buy it for him. So he made me an offer, and I said, sure, I'll sell it. It was a nice offer. So we went under contract, and the house is vacant, and I'm waiting for him to settle, and he's settling the day after Labor Day. So it's a holiday weekend, and I get a phone call from one of the neighbors, and she said that my tenants were really loud, and they were having parties, and they were causing trouble. And I said, and I knew the neighbors because I'd been around working on the house. And I said, it's not me. I don't have tenants. And she said, your tenants. And she said it several times, to the point where I called my contractor and sent him over to the house to find out what was going on. And he got to the house, and it had only been about a week since he'd been there. And he got to the house, and there were blankets and sheets hanging from all the windows on the inside, like curtains. And he thought something was amiss. So he walked up to the door, and I found this out later. I didn't know. He walked up to the door and he went with his gun. He knocked on the door with his gun. And they came to the door. And they came to the door, and he said, what are you doing in her house? And the guy said, this is my house. So this went back and forth for a little while. And my contractor knew it was my house. And the guy swore that it was his house. So by this point, I'm on my way down there. And we have to back up a minute, because at the time, I was pregnant. About 15 months pregnant. Out to here pregnant. Hormonal, losing my mind. And I was on a moped, because I decided, I usually ride my bike all over town. And since I was so pregnant, I decided I didn't want to ride a bike anymore because I was exhausted. So I went and I bought a moped.
Are you serious?
Yeah, an orange Honda Metro. it looks like a Vespa. And I'm riding around. And at the time, I was literally the only one in Center City with a moped. Everybody has them now. I was a trendsetter. I mean, out to here. I was a sight. So I roll up to the house. And my contractor's there. And I call the police. And you know what it's like to be hormonal and pregnant. I was out of my mind. And it was summer. And it's hot. And someone was in my house. I was a little crazy. So we call the police. And I'm trying to get in my house. And the guy swears that he has a lease. So the police are telling me it's a landlord-tenant issue. It's not a breaking and entry issue. And this is going on for probably about 2.5 hours, where this guy keeps telling me he has a lease. It's at his aunt's house. He has to go get it. Just one story after another. And I'm losing my mind. I actually got back on my moped, went to my office. I grabbed my closing documents. Like, I was just out of my mind to say it's my house. So the guy is stalling and stalling and stalling. And ultimately what happens is he leads them into the basement, saying now that the lease is down there. And he reached up into the rafters on top of the joists and pulled out a gun. They all tackled him. Nobody got hurt, thank God. They all tackled him and took him away in handcuffs. So I'm thinking, okay, I get my house back. No. Not only was he in there, he had his baby mamas and their children in there.
What?
Wait, it gets better. You cannot make this shit up. I hope you could be. We're allowed to say that word. Okay.
The show is called Crazy Shit. And you just told me a commune moved into your house. And so I'm processing anyway.
They moved into my house. The Pico, the electricity was still in my name. So they had every air conditioner on, they had stereos in the rooms, every single TV and stereo on, but the volume turned down. It was like they were trying to rack up the bill. They had cooked in the kitchen and gotten grease all over the wall behind the stove. They had scuff marks on the walls from moving their furniture in, and on and on and on and on.
Furniture? They had furniture?
Oh, they had furniture. They had piles of clothing, furniture, clothes, stereos. It was just all completely, like, they moved in. So the police tell me to let them back in to get their stuff. And I said, no.
No.
And he said, if you don't let them in, they're going to send their friends down. This is Philly. They're going to send their friends down and they're going to get their stuff. So I had to let these people back in my house and stand there. Now, it's just the baby mamas because he's carted off to jail. And they're in there taking out stuff. They didn't take out everything, but they took out their clothes and their personal belongings. And we had to clean out the rest and get this all ready for settlement
tomorrow,
Labor Day. Well, over the holiday weekend. Okay. You ready for the best part?
Okay. So I told y'all that I would do a review of Follow Up Boss, you know, because I'm your friend in real estate. And I did. Now, you know, there's a Blue Million CRM out there. I mean, if you go to any Facebook group, every realtor's like, which one should I use? Which one should I use? And you know that these CRM, which are client relationship managers or customer relationship manager, whatever you want to call it, it's truly a system that's just designed to help you know what to do next because you're very busy and you're a multitasker in real estate. With all those different tasks and balls up in the air, you need something to help you stay on track. And that's what Follow Up Boss does. Now, when you save a name and a phone number in there, that is basically a Rolodex. Follow Up Boss is going to take the names and phone numbers and also help you know what to do next so you can maintain these relationships with your neighbors. Because that's what this is about. Real estate is not about serving just prospects and clients. It's about taking great care of your neighbors' needs in real estate. And if you'll use a tool like Follow Up Boss, where they remember you, oh, they might even call you when they're ready to buy or sell again, or when their mom and daddy do, or their best friend or their kid, and you want to be top of mind. That's what a product like Follow Up Boss will do for you. Truly, it's going to change your business when you start paying better attention to people. They don't have to know you use Follow Up Boss, but they'll totally understand that they are being heard by you. So now there's a free trial for my people because you're loved. Go to followupboss.com/crazy. No credit card is required. And frankly, because you're my people and we made an ask for you, Follow Up Boss said, yes, yeah, so you get double the free trial. That's actually enough time to log in, put some pieces in it, and watch it change your business as it has for so many realtors and teams nationwide. Again, go to followupboss.com/crazy to start your free trial today. Oh my God, there's more?
Oh, there's more. So I come to find out, I called the property management company and I said, you know, what's going on? They went to go get the sign because when I put it under contract, I canceled my management. So they went to get the sign. And when they went to get the sign, the bracket was hanging, but the sign was missing. So they knocked on the door. The guy opened the door. This was a couple of days before, and they never told me. They knocked on the door. The guy opens the door, and they said, yeah, do you have our sign? And he said, oh, yeah, it's over here. And he grabs the sign, and he gives it to them. And he said, are you the ones that take care of this property? And the guy said, yes. So he said, can you fix that window? It is the back window that he broke into to come in my house and change the locks.
Oh.
I'm not kidding. And so they never called and told me. I find all this out afterwards. I end up, the guy shows up, or I'm sorry, he was in jail and then they let him out on bail. And I got a letter in the mail, a subpoena to go witness because he was going to court. So I show up, he jumped bail. He never showed up. So I still have a judgment, a default judgment against him, which I'll never, ever, ever see. But here I come to find out from the police when I showed up for court, the guy worked at the U-Haul, which was about six blocks away from the U-Haul, and they had self-storage. He broke into people's storage lockers and stole their furniture and all their stereos and all their stuff. Broke into my house, moved all the stolen goods in there, and squatted until they took him away. Yep.
Did the closing still happen? Did the guy still buy the house?
Closing happened. My contractor banged it out. He got everything done. And the guy, I can't remember if we had to postpone a couple of days. We may have, but the guy was really nice. And he ended up buying it. And then he became a client of mine. And I ended up selling him other investment properties over the years. It had a happy ending, but whoo.
I mean, there's so much to unpack here. And squatter stories, I think, happen to all kinds of realtors. And in fact, the proof that this stuff happens in some degree or the other is that your property management company didn't let you know that the guy reported a broken window. They're like, eh, another weird guy, another broken window. They just going to deal with it because property management is so underappreciated. I mean, property managers that are watching this, we appreciate y'all very much. Public, y'all have no idea what property managers go through. But I want to point out too that there's a realtor safety thing here that the public never gets a good grasp on exactly how risky realtor jobs are until we give them a visual of a pregnant realtor rolling up on a moped. But it's a good thing that you did send the sheriff or your contractor first, right, so that somebody else would have gone to the property. Because had your contractor not gone first, it could have been a whole different outcome, Janice.
Oh, I know it. And believe me, I know it. And, you know, I'm really careful. I show a lot of properties that are boarded up, that are vacant, you know, those kinds of things. And I've been surprised a few times. And even if a house is completely vacant, sometimes, I mean, we have neighborhoods where the back of the house is missing, or the back door is missing, and people are in and out, animals are in and out. You know, you always have to go in and announce yourself and be careful. And yeah, it's a little risky. It's part of the reason why I'm out there doing it. I'm a little tired, a little old from doing all that every day.
No kidding. And just a reminder, friends, if you carry concealed, just make sure that you're the person who practices and you have the appropriate permits and licenses for that. Because a guy like that, if you were the one that had the gun in your hand and he went after his, if you're not trained, you won't know what to do. So just be really smart as you're out there conducting real estate. Or if you're the consumer, this is also why you don't walk in a house when the guy says, oh, I've got the stuff in the basement. Come on, man. That's like Silence of the Lambs.
Right, right.
Nobody keeps anything in the basement that you need to walk down there with them to get.
No, I don't do basements unless I know the people, unless it's my longtime client, I don't do basements.
Yeah. And even then it's, you walk behind them, not in front of them. Yeah. Oh my gosh. HGTV is never going to touch this story, Janice, because they don't know what squatters are, much less the meet and downs. I'm still like upset about too. There's a commune in the house, but that's a whole different discussion. Oh my gosh. So much, so much. And y'all, if you're a realtor, please be safe out there. Never go by yourself to a property. And if you're the neighbor, actually there's something else here all investors should do what Janice did. You need to know the names of the neighbors and go make sure they have your phone number, because thank heavens that neighbor reported in the party that was going on so that you could deal with it, because the neighbor could have been at risk.
Oh, absolutely. And the longer it waited, the more damage I would have. And she didn't know that I was selling it. I'd never told her because it happened so fast. So yeah, that's true. Is the neighbor should. Plus, you want to be friendly with them. There have been times when we've renovated properties and, you know, we go into areas that are starting to gentrify, and the neighbors, unfortunately, sometimes don't have money to fix their houses. So we've done things where I've had my contractor go when he's doing my roof and fix their roof too.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, because they're dealing with all the construction and the mess, and it's just a good neighborly thing to do. And they're already up there. It's economies of scale. It's not that much extra to have them fix their roof too, and it protects both of the properties. So everything that you can do to befriend the neighbors and be a good neighbor, especially in an area that's gentrifying, because people are really, you have to be sensitive to that. It's part of the cyclical nature of real estate and neighborhoods, especially in urban areas, but you have to be really cognizant of people and their feelings. And so it makes it a lot nicer of a transaction.
Well, and a lot of those neighbors that are in the neighborhood in that situation may have a generational house, elderly folks on a fixed income who would have done the repair, but maybe don't have the assets to do it and don't have the available cash. So I love that you're just making the neighborhood better all around you. So look, crazy shit went from the nasty squatter to how you can be a better neighbor if the neighborhood's changing. That's a really good crazy thing. I love that. You didn't tell me that happy part. Oh, now I feel warm and fuzzy because that's good stuff. Yay. Okay. So I do want to talk about something briefly before I let you off the show. And I know, friends, y'all are used to the really short episodes, but sometimes we have to go long for a minute. And Janice is fascinating to me because she said out loud at an event that we were at together a few weeks ago that she was doing everything she could not to sell a house again. And as realtors, the number one thing that a new licensed person says is they just want to sell a house. Then you get 25 years in, and now you're trying not to do it anymore. And I just want to unpack that for a minute, because there's a real space there that experienced realtors get really great at the craft of real estate, and then they get bored. And entrepreneurs, when they're bored, need to find another pathway. Because while you're still very good at conducting real estate and very good with buyers and sellers, that's not where your passion is today. What was the wake-up moment for you to figure out that your passion had moved somewhere else or had just diminished in that sales space?
I don't know that it was really a wake-up moment. It was just, now that I look back on it, there were a couple of things that stand out to me. One is my former broker. I spent the bulk of my career with him, and he taught me more than every other source combined in this business and in life and real estate and everything. And one day, one day he said to me, you should go teach. And so I went to apply for a job as a real estate instructor, and they didn't hire me, but then I ended up going back years later and they did. But I'll never forget him telling me that. And then he must have seen something in me, because when I started teaching, that's when I really hit my stride. That's when I knew this was my thing, because I love to educate and I love to empower people. So there was that. And then when I started teaching, the woman who I replaced, she was retiring. And one of the things she said to her students when I was sitting in on class is, the minute you get into this business, make sure you have a plan on how to get out. And I said, oh my God, I need a plan to get out. Not that I have to get out,
right,
but when I want to get out. And so the teaching sort of just took on a life of its own. And the brokerage kind of was a double dare. Kind of, I was sitting in an office and I got off the phone with the main office. I was sitting in like a branch office, and I just out loud said, you know, I don't like the way they treated my client. And the guy sitting next to me was, oh, Chad has been stuck in real estate. You could do it better. Go do it yourself. And I kind of just said, you know what, I can. And that was it. And I opened my brokerage. So the thing about opening a brokerage for me, the first step was that I was bored. I was bored just being pigeonholed into just doing the same thing over and over again. And you have to branch out, because otherwise the creativity in the entrepreneurial sphere dies.
And let's just explain to people it's okay to be bored, and it's okay to take that boredom and make it something else. And real estate, it drives me a little bit crazy. And you know this, where we seem to set the same goals for everybody, but it's an entrepreneurial space where everybody's learning and growing at different speeds. And then you're working with different clients, and some people really just elevate you and some people pull you down. And then you start to find where you can do different great things. And I love that your broker saw in you something before you saw it in yourself. And how often do we hear that story amongst people that are doing great things? They didn't recognize the talent yet, but somebody else did. It's such a great reminder for all of us that you don't have to be bored, and it's okay to admit when you're bored, and it's okay to believe in somebody else, and it's okay to listen to somebody who believes in you.
Yep. And it's also important to be able to notice that in other people. When it's like I always say, when you come to my house, most of the time you're going to find a sink full of dirty dishes. But when I go to your house, I can't sit still if there's a dirty spoon in the sink. It's always easier to do the dishes at someone else's house, to clean up someone else's mess. And it's also always easier to see the gifts in another person than it is to see them in yourself. So if no one has reached out to you to point out your gifts, you go out and you point out someone else's gifts, and that's going to get the energy shifted, and it's going to start happening. And then people will start to notice your gifts. It's like the law of attraction. You put it out there and it starts to change things. And I do that all the time, especially with my students and my agents. I just look at them and I'm like, you're good at that. And then they're like, really? And it feels amazing.
So Janice, I love that analogy. I love what you said, because I love doing dishes at somebody else's house, because also I can hide at the sink, and there's something to be said for that too. If somebody wants to get to know you better, if they want to find out about your pathway, your journey, your real estate investment prowess, I mean, you know so much about real estate, not just in Philly, but in New Jersey as well. How can they reach out to you? What's the best way to connect?
I think probably on social media is the easiest way. My name, Janice Benstock, on Facebook or on Instagram. And they can also always email me. We always check email at hello@jbrea.net for Janice Benstock Real Estate Academy, jbrea.net.
And she's Janice, like Janice Joplin, not Janice, like
your
Brady Bunch.
Exactly.
Let's see. Janice Joplin, not Brady Bunch, might be how I have to refer to you in the future, but that's okay, friends. If you're now processing that in your head and I totally derailed you writing down her stuff, it's okay, because all of her contact information, her links and handles are in the show notes for this episode. I highly recommend that you connect with Janice, because you'll love her as much as I do. And maybe she'll teach us all how to take a professional looking headshot selfie too. Janice, thank you so much for coming on the show, for being so vulnerable with us in your own personal journey, and for a story that gives us all a lot of reminders about exactly how crazy real estate is. So I appreciate you. I'm so grateful for you. And I can't wait to see you in person soon.
Ditto. Thank you so much.
All right, friends, if you enjoyed meeting Janice, and you know you did, make sure you've subscribed, you've given the show 5 stars, and leave her a nice comment over there wherever you're watching or listening to this show so she can feel the love, and make sure that you tune back in, and we'll see you next time. Okay, now don't forget to go try Follow Up Boss so that your business can continue to expand in professionalism, and then you can meet some more crazy people yourself. I really appreciate Follow Up Boss sponsoring this episode, but mainly I appreciate them for giving y'all double the free trial time with no credit card required. So make sure you go to followupboss.com/crazy and then let me know what you think. I'll see you guys next time.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or you just need to one-up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram @LeeThomasBrown, or tweet me @LeeBrown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.